both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. As we talked a little bit about the Patriots, we didn't really drill down all that much on their loss last night in Houston against the Texans. And you know, number one, give Bill O'Brien, the Texans, a lot of credit. That we've been here before, Taz, where they've had a big game against the New England Patriots and they've come up empty. When Matt Schaub was the starter, Deshaun Watson, and they didn't play particularly well. The Patriots had their way, and you said, oh, look at this. We were fooled once again by the Houston Texans. And last night down in Houston, you saw them play a very, very good football game on Sunday night. A dominant game, 21-3, 28-9 at one point in time. Win the game 28-22. That is your final. And that is a statement game for that Texans franchise. It really is. And just maybe we're seeing kind of a little bit of a changing of the guard. You know, sometimes maybe it doesn't have to hit you with a blowout loss. Maybe it has to hit you with a little bit of seepage from the Patriots. And you've seen that this year. The offense doesn't look nearly what it once did. They miss Gronkowski. They don't look dynamic at all. They don't have a lot of playmakers on offense aside from Julian Edelman. They can't win it, run the ball as effectively as they once did. They've had a couple big games this year, and they've lost both of them. And I would say the Raven game obviously was a much bigger game than the game last night. But still, the Pats were in prime control to be the number one seed in the AFC, have all the playoffs go through Foxborough come playoff time, and that's no longer the case as they're sitting here now with two losses at 10-2 on the season. Your Buffalo Bills are nipping at their heels as they won impressively on Thanksgiving Day down in Dallas against the Cowboys, and now you've got a scenario where if the season ended today, they'd have to go through Baltimore in order to make it to the Super Bowl once again.
Yeah, I know. It's and listen, Brady, you nailed all the issues they're having. And one thing too, though, is Brady's throws. Like last night, his throws were off. I mean, he was 24-47, right? So he had three TDs, right? 326 yards, one interceptions, but a lot of his throws were off. And you know him, it's well documented. Once things start going a little bit bad, he starts chirping on that sideline to his teammates. And I understand passion. I understand, you know, guys want to win. Guys fight and argue all the time in huddles and locker rooms and clubhouses. And I respect that. I get that. But, like, it's different. It's a one-way argument with this guy. You see it on the sideline. He's cutting promos, as we call it in the wrestling business, yelling at people. And no one's saying nothing back to him. These receivers are not saying anything back to him. The other thing, too, I got to say, Moose, that I'm surprised.
That bother you?
It doesn't bother me. It's a little bit like, well, it should be a discussion that both guys, I mean, a two-way argument or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't bother me. As a non-Pats fan, I think it's great. I think it's funny. I laugh at it.
Well, you don't think that's showing, you know, leadership? I mean, you know, you don't think Tom Brady, in terms of, you know, getting into it with his receivers, doesn't that show you, you know, his passion for the game? If you sit there when they're struggling offensively, Taz, and he's not saying anything, wouldn't that be even more alarming?
Well, he does that too. But the thing is, no, my point about him is that this is my assumption. I'm not in the clubhouse or the locker room, so it's tough to even say what I'm about to say. But I'm going to say it just so you understand what I'm trying to tell you here. I feel like Tom Brady, he comes off over the years, because he's hyped, he's great, He's proved it. First ballot Hall of Fame, all this stuff. There's a lot of entitlement there. And a lot of it he's earned, but I feel like I get the vibe he's not the type of guy that's like, you know what, my bad, I messed that up. That was on me, not you. That's how I feel. Some of these throws that he's missing, guys, it's not all on his receivers. It's not all on the pass routes. His throws are off. He, you know, what about throws when defensive linemen are batting down balls? Who are you blaming for that?
Oh, no. I you know what I mean? I look at it more of a case of, Taz, where there's miscommunication on routes, where you saw it a little bit, you know, I think, was it with Sanu or was it with Dorsett? I forget what receiver, where he asked him to go deep, and he stopped his route, and Brady threw where he thought he was going to go. And
yeah,
he just
there was nobody there. Right,
and it was nobody there. Right. I mean, I think that's the case where Brady's trying to get everybody on the same page. I mean, I look at it as more a case of, you know, me personally, the way I read it, Taz, you know, yes, he's the greatest quarterback the sport's ever seen. He's done a lot of winning. I look at it more of a case as kind of coach on the sideline as being leadership more so than anything else. It does not, you know, it does not bother me. But I'm not as bothered by the Patriots as some.
Well, I'm hypersensitive to anything they do, so I'm probably a bad guy to ask.
No, I get it, but it doesn't. That's the way I look at it with Brady, because I think it's more a case of you're seeing, you know, the passion on the sideline. You see with other players defensively as well. You see with some guys, you know, sometimes you've seen receivers go on rants on the sideline. You know, those things don't really necessarily bother me all that much, because I think it's a very intense, highly emotional game.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not saying that, Moose.
But I think there are people that read a little bit, not just you specifically,
I understand,
but I do think there are people that read into those things saying, oh, my God, that receiver's lost his
mind.
No, I think, you know.
It's emotional. No, and I'm with you on
that. You're looking at an emotional game.
It's explosive. They care. Passion.
And you've got the energy pulsating through your veins, right? It's intensity. You're laying your body on the line. You're going up. I think there's a lot that goes into what you have to do to get yourself to play at this level in the National Football League.
Yeah, I understand that. I just feel like, I don't know, again, it's probably part of being a Patriots hater. I just feel like there's not a lot of my bads out of Tom Brady.
That's fair.
My only point. And, you know, there's also the bigger, the football part of it is the offensive football part. The only receiver he seems to have a legitimate connection with is Edelman. I mean, Gronk being out of there, Gronk was a big, big help for Brady for all those years. You know, you don't see Matt LaCrosse being involved as much as he could or should. He had one big play on a play action yesterday that was a really good play, and I thought they would go back to LaCrosse, and they didn't do that. He's big to White, the running back. He gets the ball to him on different, you know, scat routes and whatnot. But otherwise, yeah, Sanu, dude, I thought Sanu, being there for several weeks now, would have had a good connectivity as far as catching footballs with Brady. And that connection, in my opinion, is not there. He was targeted five times with 14 yards. He had three catches. Sanu.
And he had one bad drop.
He did.
The fourth and inches drop, Brady hit him right in the hands. You got to make that catch.
You got to catch that ball. You're right. I forgot about that one.
You know,
I did
that,
forget about that
one.
That's a good point.
But you're right. He does not have. I thought
it's not
Sanu,
a threat.
No,
right now.
I thought Sanu would be a bigger playmaker than he has been.
Yeah.
In that Patriot offense. And we talked about at the time, I remember that came down early in the morning. I think it broke when we were on the air that Mohamed Sanu was all of a sudden a Patriot and a draft pick was going to the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, they've got issues because the Patriots always want to tell you, Taz, they'll find out what they are as a team. The season really doesn't begin until after Thanksgiving. Well, we saw the first game out of Thanksgiving for the New England Patriots, and it was not a good performance last night.
Right.
And I think you have to – and what I meant by seepage is this, Taz, is that I think over the years people were looking for this drastic drop-off, right, to where it was all of a sudden the Patriots are going to go from a championship-caliber team to kind of an eight-win team or a nine-win team.
I got you,
And I never thought it was going to be that drastic. But I think what you're witnessing now – is basically a team that offensively doesn't have the sting or the punch that other teams have. They don't have a lot of solutions offensively. And as good as that defense is, if they're on the field a long time, I don't care how good your defense is.
No, you're tired,
they're going to get exposed.
You're exhausted.
They're not machines. They're not robots They're going to start to get worn down as the game does go along. And we all know how good that Patriot defense is, Taz. However, The offense needs to find something here, and I don't know if they have the solutions at the skill position in order to find those solutions. I really don't, because they're not looking good offensively. Last night's game, I don't care what they did, they were down 21-3, 28-9.
I know, and you're right.
And that Texans defense is nothing to write home about.
No, and there's no J.J. Watt. There's no J.J. Watt. How many times has he sacked? I'm not looking at it. I mean, he was sacked. He had to be sacked at least, I don't know, three times, something like that. But he was pressured a good amount, and there's no J.J. Watt on that defense. You know, this is not, you know, so they still were able to get things done. Three sacks. So there was three sacks. You sacked three times.
Sacked on three occasions.
Right. So anyway, the thing is, there's no J.J. Watt there. I think this is why they wanted Antonio Brown on that team.
The Texans did have 12 quarterback hits.
Wow. Oh, that's...
they hit him 12 times.
Oh, man. That's so nice to hear. But I'm not kidding you. I'm one of those guys. Yeah, hit Brady. So the thing is, I do think this is why the Pats wanted Antonio Brown on that team, why they were trying to get, what's his name, incorporated in that offensive more. Gordon, he's gone. And Sanu now trying to get that real offensive weapon. And I didn't hear it anywhere that Brady's not Brady this year. Like I said, we had Stinky on, and you were the first guy I heard talk Schlereth, and you were the first guy I heard, and you brought that up to him. He disagreed with you. Now, everywhere the past few weeks on TV, everybody's talking about how, well, the offense isn't like we thought with the Pats, and Brady's not what it was. And you were the first guy, I got to tell you,
that,
who
Jess.
Hit that out here. Yeah. You were. I didn't know at the time. I'm like, wow, I think maybe Moose is onto something here. He might be right, because I didn't think of it. Because you always just think about Tom Brady as being, like, it's a foregone conclusion. He's just going to be great all the time. You know, and he's still, like me, as a former Jet fan and a Bills fan, watching Brady just take a snap, I panic all the time. It's like my blood pressure goes up. Because I'm so used to seeing completions, and great offensive line play, and no sack. It's not like that anymore. It's nice. I also think now, Moose, what's happening with this Patriots team, these defenses that they're playing against, okay, they're more and more confident against Brady. They feel like he lost a step. They feel like he don't have that connectivity with these receivers. They know that Gronk's not there, and that's a massive plus for the opponent, that Gronk's not on the field. I'm telling you, these defenses are getting more and more confident against Brady, and it shows.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Taz. And we talked a lot about the number one seed in the AFC. Well, I'll be honest with you, Patriots have got to take care of business at home as well, because they're 10-2, and your Buffalo Bills are 9-3. And, you know, and I know everyone wants to say, well, I mean, the Patriots aren't going to lose the AFC East. I get it, but... The Bills have got, you look at, they're sitting there at 9-3, and that was a huge statement victory, and they've won three in a row, right? And I understand, the Bills have got the Ravens this week, then at Steelers, at New England, and then the Jets. That is a difficult road to close out the season for the Buffalo Bills, but never would have thought here, going into week 14 of the NFL regular season, that the Bills would be within shouting distance.
I know.
That you could have a conversation. It might be, you might say, well, it's a long shot. That's fine. And you might think that, you know, the Bills are going to lose to the Baltimore Ravens this week and be 9-4. And that's fine. But they are in a position, as Sean McDermott and his staff wake up here on this Monday morning, as they get set to take on the Baltimore Ravens, Taz, they have an opportunity in front of them here if they're able to rip off a tremendous winning streak and, say, beat Baltimore and Pittsburgh and New England and the Jets and make it seven straight victories to close out the year. They've got the opportunity, potentially, of winning the AFC East.
That's right. And I
don't think it's going to happen. I'll tell you, be honest with you, I know you're a Bills fan, but you can have that conversation.
I basically predicted that. I thought that I still think there's a chance it'll happen. I do, because I think the Pats are going to have a hard time with the Chiefs. Okay, the Bills. This victory in Dallas was a big victory on the road. That was a big victory for the team. And I follow the team obviously heavily because I'm a fan of the team. But Moose, if you remember, you know, and you pointed it out when we broke down the Patriots Bills game when the Pats won the game 16-10. You know, weeks back. Okay, when the Pats stayed undefeated. You remember Josh Allen? Okay, Barkley came in that game.
Yep.
And you pointed that out, and Barkley was
I think you win that game if Allen it doesn't get concussed.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that was a big moment there. Frank Gore ran the ball like crazy. He had over 100 yards rushing the ball. Okay, Singletary wasn't even healthy to play. I don't think he played in that game. He was not hurt. The other running back was tremendous for the Bills. So I think when the Pats and the Bills face each other again, it's going to be a little bit of a different game.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. And I think it comes down to, I'll believe in Buffalo if they beat Baltimore this weekend.
I know.
If they beat Baltimore. I know it's going to be a tough game, but that's going to be a hell of a game.
I know. I hope it is, dude. I'm worried, man.
10-2 Ravens up there in Orchard Park. I mean, Bills Mafia, you want to talk about going crazy.
They're going to be ripe.
They are going to be berserk this weekend up there in Buffalo. Imagine you throw a little snow into the equation as well. I mean, it's going to be some scene up there in Orchard Park. But if they beat the Ravens this weekend, game on.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, game on, because I could see the Chiefs beating the Patriots this weekend. Then all of a sudden you're looking at two teams that are 10-3 with three games to go, and the Bills are taking on the Patriots up there in Foxborough week 16.
Dude.
Then you got an opportunity.
You got a chance.
You got an opportunity here.
I don't know, man. I'm just, like I said, this Ravens-Bills game, even though the Bills are home, my concern is the rush defense for Buffalo. And dealing with Ingram and dealing with LJ.
Allen's going to have himself a game.
He's got to play good.
He's got to play well.
And that's a good defense. That Ravens defense is no joke. So it's going to be a good game. I just hope the Bills keep it a good game.
But think about this. Imagine if the Patriots are playing wild card weekend.
Oh, God.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about what could happen here in the last month, 5 weeks of the after what happened yesterday, last 4 weeks of the NFL regular season. The Patriots could go in commanding position to be in the number one seed in the AFC, potentially here.
Yeah.
To then maybe losing the division and playing wild card weekend. That's a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen,
right,
but that's a possibility.
Let me side note Jones you for a second. You know the Bills, the line in that Ravens Bills game? Don't look. Do you know off the top yet?
I would say Ravens laying 2.5.
No. Bills, home dog Jones, 5.5, as you call it.
Five and a half. Ravens laying 5.5.
Ooh, look at that.
There you go.
What
Bills
do you think?
Bills plus 5.5 at home. That's a good play.
Yeah, your eyes opened up.
That is a good play. No, I'll be honest with you, that's a good play.
Yeah.
5.5 getting more than a field goal.
That could change as the week goes on, right?
Yeah.
That could drop.
That could adjust, yes. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. You saw a lot of lines adjust yesterday as the games got closer.
Yeah.
They always adjust the betting lines based on the action that they're getting in that game.
5.5, Moose.
There you have it. So the 5.5. The Steelers get a little revenge with a rookie at quarterback. We'll touch upon that next. It's Taz and the Moose here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It certainly is.
It's tough. It's tough.
What's tough?
Woke up this morning, blowing my nose. You're always blowing your nose.
I am.
I had a lot of burning in my nasal
nostrils.
Passage. Yeah. My upper nasal respiratory area.
Ugh.
I don't know if it's like this, but I have my sinuses.
Sickness coming on?
Well, my sinuses are not great. That's the this time of year, my sinuses usually affect me.
Yeah, I think maybe I have allergies. I don't know what it is. I'm over the cold. Well, Dayquil Extreme helped me with that.
All right.
They were fantastic.
Is that a thing? Dayquil Extreme?
It is.
Wow.
Sounds really rough.
It is. Dayquil Extreme.
Extreme.
And has
any medicine the word extreme? That's a little
off. You take it, lay down in a dark room and don't move.
It Vicks a part of it, too, so it helps out the chest a little bit, too. You feel it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I might need that because I'm feeling a little bit
out of that. Yeah. Like nobody's business.
Wow.
To get myself ready.
You can't drink it like it's orange juice, Moose. I mean, you can't just stop pounding it like it's like.
Well, I wasn't within discretion, within the rules, the directions.
I hear you.
You got to always follow the rules, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's, Sunday. Yeah. It's another NFL and CBS doubleheader. First, Baltimore's MVP candidate Lamar Jackson takes his show on the road to Buffalo, followed by a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game when the Patriots welcome in the Chiefs up there to Foxborough. It all starts with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
Wow, look who just walked in. Wow.
Yes.
Andrew Bogus is here.
Thanks for covering for me, guys. I appreciate
it. For his latest sports update. Yes. Wow, it's great to see you, man. Great to see you again.
I'm Andrew Bogus.
How you feeling?
It means a lot coming from you. I'm good.
What are we done with Weird Al?
Yeah, we killed him.
What happened with Weird Al?
It sucks. It's played out.
Oh, okay.
Yo, Moose says it, and it just happened.
Yeah, that happens.
Well, Pete was searching for it. I looked across the way.
Quarterback calls for a play, and it's done.
QB1.
Done. QB1.
What's going on, Andrew?
Moose.
It's a dead bit. It's a dead bit.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's a dead bit. We ran it. We drove.
Was it ever alive, really, is the question.
No, it was for a little while, for at least the first, I don't know, 8 months. Yeah. And then it became to a point where it's like we kind of drug it through the mud, and it's part of like, you know, you want to be careful of the hamster wheel feel. Ooh. That's not good creatively. And that's what happens when you do that every day. You got to change it up.
Okay.
I'm just being honest.
I got you.
I'm just trying to help. That's all I'm trying.
So a new Weird Al song tomorrow. Yeah.
No.
Eat it.
Amish Paradise.
There it is.
There you go.
Close enough. Guys, it has only happened 5 times in NFL history. The last 2 times it's happened, it's been against the Patriots.
First and goal from the 6. Watson in the gun with Duke Johnson to his right. Deshaun hands off to Johnson. Now to Hop right side, who flips the ball to Watson. Diving for the pylon. And he's got it. Razzle dazzle. Touchdown, Houston.
Mark Vandermeer on Texans radio. Deshaun Watson, 3 touchdown passes. 1 receiving. Nick Foles had that combo against the Pats in Super Bowl 52. Watson's efforts led to a 28-22 Texans win on Sunday Night Football. 3 touchdown passes as well from Tom Brady, but his team drops to 10-2, giving up the number 1 seed for now to the Ravens, who dropped the Niners 20-17 on Justin Tucker's 49-yard field goal as time expired. Brandon McManus hit from 53 as time ran out to drag the Broncos past the Chargers 23-20. L.A. tied the game just 14 seconds earlier, but a pass interference call put Denver in field goal range. The Texans, not the only team that got tricky yesterday.
They're going to fake this thing. The Dolphins have players spread all over the field. 5 to the left, 4 to the right. They run it. They throw a touchdown. Unbelievable.
Jimmy Cephalo and friends on Dolphins radio. That was Miami punter Matt Hawk throwing a TD to kicker Jason Sanders.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Instead of kicking a short field goal.
Crazy play.
Crazy.
That was great.
Crazy.
I love the design of it. You've seen it before where teams do that initially and then they come back and and sprint back into the regular, you know, PAT attempt or field goal attempt. And then you saw it, and you see it more in college than the NFL, but you saw it yesterday afternoon. They ran it and it was a great flick. I mean, the place kicker, the punter, his flick to be able to get it through 2 defenders with his right hand, the toss.
Yep.
I mean, that's difficult to do with the pressure on. That was a great, that was fantastic.
Like a, for those that didn't see, it was like an option, like a quarterback would option a ball.
Correct.
And the way you do that, by the way, I'm actually pretty good at that. Your thumb, your bottom thumb. No, it is. Give me that football behind you. Sure. Hold on a minute.
You can't touch. Don't do it. Don't. Alarm's going to go off.
No. Yeah.
Oh, Tiki just found out you touched the ball.
I got the dead hand, too. Yeah. I had the surgery on the hand.
Yes.
This
right.
ball don't have a lot of air. This is like a Tom Brady ball. Look how much air is out.
Yeah. There you go. Yes. A little deflated.
Maybe somebody, it's slipping out of my hand. Maybe Mike Pasega's going to come in the studio. He'll catch it. You know, I'm a little nervous. Pressure's on because I know Moose don't believe in me because he doesn't understand my abilities.
Right.
Tossing the football.
Now, I had surgery on his hand. Give me the ball, please, sir. So, again, I'll try and get the lights are in the way here. So watch the bottom thumb. This is my high school. We had an option quarterback. He was tremendous. So I was a lineman, but I used to mess around with him before practice.
Yeah.
Who's the mic here?
The mic. Yeah. Andrew's the mic.
Thanks.
See it?
Oh, yeah.
See it? Again, had surgery on the hand.
Right.
Phenomenal toss of the football.
Yeah. But that's the hit.
The rotation's just perfect.
Watch this.
Yes.
Yeah. Thumb out.
I'm familiar.
Familiar.
Mike is pitching it like it's like a
softball.
He's not listening. I'm like, just drop soft into Mike's hands.
I don't have the velocity I used to have. I don't have the velocity I used to have.
Yeah. But that's good for Mike's sake.
Well done.
You guys are welcome for that little
Thank you, Taz.
Nice tutorial.
That's how you played the AC guy yesterday. I don't have cash, but I got a football lesson for you.
I can do it all, basically. You guys, I'm a pro athlete. Let's be honest.
Football. At least he gave us a tip on the football.
I did.
Oh,
that was nice. I got it. I might be the only one who got that.
Miami won that game, by the way, yesterday, 37-31 over the Eagles, who had led 28-14. The Steelers won their rematch with the Browns, 20-13. No one using any piece of equipment to assault an opponent in that one. The Packers, a 31-13 win in the snow at the Giants. 4 TD passes from Aaron Rodgers. And the Bucs, a 28-11 win in Jacksonville. Pete, come give him a rundown. A rubdown, I should say. That's Nick Foles benched at halftime in that one after three turnovers. Gardner Minshew came in, threw one touchdown, but could not lead a comeback. Vikings wide out Adam Thielen out again with his hamstring injury. Minnesota in Seattle for Monday Night Football. The Utah Jazz found themselves down 77-37 at halftime last night in Toronto. Head coach Quinn Snyder.
We were awful.
Yep, 40 points is the largest halftime deficit in team history, the eighth biggest ever in NBA history. The Jazz wound up losing 131-10 to those Raptors. The Clippers put a hurting on the Wizards, 150-125, after the Mavs snapped the Lakers' 10-game win streak, 114-100, both those games at Staples Center yesterday. Rutgers and Greg Schiano reuniting after all. It's reported 8-year deal worth $4.7 million annually. On the flip side, Ole Miss has fired Matt Luke, Charlie Strong out at South Florida, and BC let Steve Adazio go after 7 seasons. Meanwhile, QB Felipe Franks is leaving Florida. He'll either enter the NFL draft or transfer. Franks suffered a season-ending ankle injury back in Week 3. Guys?
All right.
Thank you, Andrew. Job well done.
There you have it.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great seeing you.
It was great. And you can.
And thanks again for that
tutorial. Yeah. When you go to the newsroom, you could tell. Actually, you could tell Boomer. I probably do it better than Boomer because he wasn't an option guy.
Right.
And Boomer Esiason was an NFL quarterback and stuff. He was pretty good. And I probably actually do the MVP. Option pitch MVP. I probably do the pitch better than him.
This is Boomer Esiason.
So there's a good. So if you bump into Boomer, you could tell him that. Wow. I didn't realize how well Taz could be as an option quarterback. His hands are very soft, hands. Mm. Kind of like a Derek Jeter type, soft hands. You know what I mean?
I was going to make that middle comparison on my own, yeah. Glad you confirmed
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Kind of like a Jose Reyes in his prime, that type thing.
You know more Vizquel, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, Vizquel would probably be better.
Probably the best, right? Yeah.
Taz, there's nothing you can't do in life.
Well, from a physical perspective, there really isn't, except a furnace.
Or tip somebody properly when they come over on Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. Come on now, please. If Pete's listening, he's going to be upset.
Well, we've established that already.
No, that was a mistake.
That was a mistake. You'll admit that was a mistake.
I've gotten the guy a lot of work.
Admit it was a mistake?
A lot of work.
That was a mistake?
Slightly, but you're going to pick holes in anything you could find
in
me.
What do you mean? It was a hell of an option pass to Biseglia through the studio. Nice catch.
Good catch by Mike.
You dropped one of them?
No, I was 3 for 3. Not
did he drop one?
No, I was 3 for 3.
Oh, I'm not kidding.
Catch that, Mike, there'd be problems.
I would
play basketball every week.
That's true.
Fair point.
I mean, honestly.
I used to have a lot of...
Still getting the facts right. Caught all three.
That's it. I used to have a lot of velocity in the pitch. But I had surgery. I don't know if I mentioned. I had surgery on the hand, the thumb.
Well, you can't have. You can't have tremendous velocity every single time. It's more of a touch and a feel.
No, but Moose, I used to be able to. I used to do that all the time, like just playing around. Like that, I'd take a football, and I was the option guy.
Yeah.
But I had surgery. If I ever mentioned on my thumb, I had surgery.
Wait, right? You had surgery?
Yeah, on my thumb. I had like a carpal tunnel Jones. And so I don't have the same foomph with it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
That same power I used to have. But you notice the end over end. We don't have video. They're not ever giving us video here ever. So people can't see it. But Moose got to witness the whole thing.
Yes, it was a tremendous pitch.
Pete, how did it look?
Scintillating.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think we could all pitch a football.
Thank you. Well, get Mike. Come on in. Hold on.
I can't.
Hold on.
You're right. Oh no.
Come on in. Come on. There you go, Moose.
God.
What? Pitch it. You said you think we could all pitch a football.
I can admit I can't.
End over end. I want to see you do the option.
I can't do it.
Come on in, Mike. Come on in. I can't do it. He just said it. He said we all could pitch a football. I can't do it.
I think we could all pitch a football.
No, it's different pitching a football like this. Look at me. It's different than doing an option.
I understand.
Boom. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. That was pretty good.
That was a pitch.
But you got, see, extend more.
I got you.
And you'll be on,
I'm not
on
gonna,
point.
Extend
more. We're close. Oh, easy.
There you go.
You're going to hurt me.
That was a nice pitch between you and I.
Okay.
Pete, preview. You can continue to roll.
Preview of the music going to break.
We get to, and then we
that's
fade out.
That's
our
new thing. We're going to preview.
The fade up, the fade down, like and the fade back up.
Me off.
We're revolutionizing radio here on this Monday morning.
That would be.
That's it.
Extend out with the hand.
We'll come back.
Extend out.
Right. We'll do a little college football. Right. Alabama takes another big fat L as they will not be part of the college football playoffs. We'll get into that. The unbelievable Iron Bowl. The unbelievable performance by Ohio State in Ann Arbor against the Michigan Wolverines. The lame presser by Jim Harbaugh afterward. All that, a little college football throw into the equation next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you. And on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227 brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. A little college football as they get a little tongue-tied there. Taz, an unbelievable Iron Bowl. It really was. A number of storylines as Auburn at home on the plains down there. At Auburn, they come away with the 48-45 victory over Alabama. What an unbelievable game.
It was a great game. I watched every second of it. I loved it. Tweeted about it during it. Man, it really was. Mac Jones, he had over 330 yards throwing, four touchdowns. Nix, he played excellent. Not as many yards and stuff, but I mean, he was on point. He played pretty good. I like him. I think he's good. And Najee Harris is as advertised running the ball for Alabama. But, yeah, Iron Bowl Jones, man. Auburn gets the gigantic victory, 48-45, like you said. But what a game. It was a blast.
How about
did you
the
get a
shivers?
Chance? Did you watch that?
I did have it.
Yeah,
Well, I was doing Rutgers and Penn State, but we had it up on in the studio.
Okay, yeah.
So, we had that on. We were, kind of a computer had the Rutgers game on and TV had Alabama and Auburn on the television set, Taz. As we were watching the game, how about the shivers run Alabama, defensive back, his helmet comes flying off on that 11-yard touchdown run, which was amazing when you look at it, and tremendous. It was just a back-and-forth kind of a football game where, that one stretch in, like, the final 4 or 5 minutes of the first half, Taz, where he had basically four touchdowns being scored. I mean, it was crazy.
It was crazy. That second quarter was just
was insane.
Points galore.
It was insane.
Alabama scored 28 in the second quarter, and Auburn scored 20 in the second quarter. Yeah, it was wild.
Well, you had that unbelievable, you had that unbelievable stretch there at the end of that second quarter, right, in the final 5 minutes and 22 seconds, right? You had the Waddle 98-yard kick return for a touchdown. Well, think about this, right? You had the pick six.
Yeah.
Then right after that, the Waddle 98-yard kick return for a touchdown, right? Then you had the touchdown pass from Jones to Ruggs from 3 yards out. Then you had the 14-yard touchdown pass by Bo Nix. 33 seconds to go. You had the 58-yard pass from Mac Jones to Waddle. And then with no time left in regulation, he had the Anders Carlson, who basically could kick for about 12 pro teams right now, with the 52-yard field goal. That game went from 17-10 at the 5:36 mark after the Auburn touchdown of the second quarter now to 31-27 in the final 5 minutes and 22 seconds. Think about that. That's insane, the
Isn't
amount of
crazy?
Points that got put up.
No, it really is. And by the way, that kid Waddle, Jalen Waddle, the wide receiver, wow. He really, he played great. He played great. And he's not one of the more hyped guys on that Alabama team, as you know. He's not one of the hyped guys, man. But he really,
all three receivers are pros, though.
Oh, yeah. Judy, what's his name? Was the other guy? Smith? Ruggs. Yeah, Ruggs.
Right.
Ruggs and Waddle. Yeah, I mean, but the kid Waddle really, really stepped up big time with three TDs. He was just impressive as all heck, man. But what a game. What a game. And congrats to the Tigers, man. War Eagle Jones. I mean, to get that big victory, that was huge at home there. Huge, huge game.
Oh, it was unbelievable, Taz. And that loss takes Alabama out of consideration
for the
playoffs for the first time, which is amazing when you think about it, the consistent brilliance of Nick Saban and that team. But we realized, I mean, you took point out the fact they didn't really play all that many. You know, their schedule was not all that difficult this year. They had two difficult games this year. They lost both of them.
Right.
Auburn on the road, LSU at home, and they lost both of those games and finished the year 10-2, and they're playing with their backup quarterback as well. And we talked about as well, remember during the spring, we talked about some of the defensive injuries that they suffered too. The defense was nowhere near what we expect from a Nick Saban-led defense, but now you're going to have, you know, an opportunity here where it's not going to be Alabama and Clemson, you know, for a national championship once again. And I think that's kind of refreshing for college football. I think they needed it.
I think it is, too. No, I think it is, too. I mean, it's needed. It's needed. I mean, look, we know college football soars every year, no doubt. But it's kind of like when you think of the Alabama Crimson Tide and what they've done in college football and their legacy and their success and Saban, it feels similar to the Patriots with Belichick, obviously, and their friends, Belichick, and you know, in the NFL. It's that same type of, you know what I mean, that same type of feel. And it seems like things, definitely with Alabama, they're out, as you said. I mean, it's no doubt. I mean, they're done. But, yeah, it's. I think teams are starting to figure it out. They're starting to figure out how to topple the giant. And there wasn't much defense in that game in general. But Alabama, with a defensive guru mind like Saban, it wasn't that good defensively. I will say, though, the defensive line for the Tigers, excellent. That kid Derek Brown is unbelievable, okay? Big, giant kid, 6'5", 6'6". He's fast as heck, over 300 pounds. He is a beast. Tremendous, tremendous player. They got really good defensive line. But there wasn't a ton of defense in the game, but you know, and you would think with a Nick Saban defense, but you said they were banged up, you know, it wouldn't have went that way. But things are changing. Things are changing. In the football world.
You know, and Clemson certainly has that opportunity, and they kind of stamped themselves as the program after their dominant victory last year in the national championship game, Taz. But they're going to have yet another opportunity here, the Tigers will, to continue to separate themselves from Alabama should they win yet another national championship this year.
Yeah, no, I know. It's true.
And Dabo Sweeney is basically the preeminent coach in college football.
He's
got that opportunity.
He is, and he's our friend here on this show.
Yes, he's joined our program, correct.
He's our friend, he's my friend, he's your friend, and I love Dabo.
But now it gets down to the question here, Taz, of, you know, who do you put in, right? Who, you know, when you look at the rankings right now, and we'll get the latest and greatest, and we've got one more edition of the college football ranking, or two more editions, I should say, you know, one coming your way Tuesday night, and then one after, obviously, all the conference championship games. But, you know, you've got, you know, Georgia's got basically a play-in game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Georgia beats LSU, Georgia's going.
Right.
LSU then would not fall out of the top four, LSU's going to go.
Right.
Ohio State, should they beat Wisconsin? Even if they should lose to Wisconsin.
Ohio State's
phenomenal. Ohio State's going, and
Clemson's going. Ohio State is the, yeah.
So if we go on the argument that LSU beats Georgia. LSU beats Georgia in the SEC championship game.
Right.
Right? Now you come down to Utah or Oklahoma.
Who am I putting in?
For that fourth spot. Because then Georgia's out with a second loss. Utah or Oklahoma. Going on the idea that Oklahoma beats Baylor. And Utah wins the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go on the idea that both of those two teams went out, who are you putting in, Oklahoma or Utah?
Utah. I mean, I know they beat up on Colorado. Colorado's not exactly a great, great program at the time. I know that they beat them up 45-15. It was big game on ABC. A lot of people got to see the game, you know, and got to see this ranked 6 Utah Utes program, and they're sitting at 11-1 right now.
They are.
And the first quarter, they were quiet in that game, and then they woke up, and they just started scoring and scoring and scoring. They are a high-powered machine of scoring. I don't care if it's Pac-12, Pac-20, Pac-30. I know people scoffing that. Well, it's not the SEC. Oh, it's not the Big Ten. I don't care. I'm telling you right now, that quarterback is a good player. Moss is a good running back for them. They work cohesively as a unit tremendously. I like Utah, and I know Hurts is great with the Sooners, and Sooners are loaded with talent. I know that. And just on the eye test, on the sexy name, Oklahoma's got the bigger college football name than Utah. It does.
They do.
You know, but me, I put Utah in. How about you?
Oh, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Well, let me. Utah's out of conference schedule. BYU,
right.
Northern Illinois, and Idaho State.
Okay.
All right, those are their three out of conference games. Now you want
to
draw?
At least they won all three.
They did. Now Oklahoma's out of conference games are Houston, South Dakota, and UCLA.
Right. Well,
and UCLA obviously was not particularly good this year.
No.
So those are their three out of conference before you get into the Big 12 schedule. Now they've had more top 20 victories. I think Oklahoma has. It is the Big 12. I think they're a little bit more well-respected of a conference as compared to the Pac-12.
Totally, yeah.
You mentioned name recognition as well, Oklahoma over Utah, too. Now, I don't disagree. I have a hard time separating both of them. I don't trust Oklahoma's defense. I think Utah's probably a little bit more of a well-rounded football team. I don't know how explosive Utah is offensively. Defensively, I think they're better than Oklahoma. Who do I think gets in right now, if you're asking me? I think probably Oklahoma gets in.
Yeah. I think just on, what you said about those out-of-conference games
They're not even that. I mean, it's not even that great of a difference between the two. I just think maybe the Big 12 over the Pac-12. I'm not necessarily.
So what did we say? We said Ohio State, LSU, Clemson for sure, right?
I think they're in, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Aren't they? I mean, they're the top three teams.
But if LSU beats Georgia.
If Georgia beats LSU,
then
Utah.
In.
Yeah, then Georgia's in. Then Utah and Oklahoma aren't even part of the equation. I'm going on the idea that LSU beats Georgia in the SEC championship game. Mm. And Georgia suffered a rash of injuries this past week, in their daylight victory over Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, yeah.
So if I go on the idea LSU wins that game, then that opens it up to Utah, who has to beat Oregon, and Oklahoma has got to beat Matt Rhule and Baylor.
Mm.
I mean, Oklahoma has got to beat Matt Rhule and Baylor.
Right. Yeah. Well, Georgia had a statement win, right? I'm just thinking here. They beat the daylights out of Georgia Tech, which isn't saying much. Ohio State, they're locked in, obviously, and I thought it'd be more of a game with Michigan, and they were playing in Michigan. They beat up Michigan. They beat them up.
And you've got now issues with the Wolverines. I mean, you look at Jim Harbaugh now. I mean, he's 0-5 against Ohio State. It's not even close.
Might be thanks for coming for him.
I mean, I think it's the first time in their rivalry that Ohio State has scored more than 50-plus points in back-to-back games against Michigan.
That's crazy.
I mean, 56-27 Taz, and that game was close in the first half. That looked like Michigan was going to give Ohio State all they could handle.
Ohio State figured out. It's funny. I was watching the pregame. I'm obsessed with the pregames.
Yep.
Urban Meyer was on the pregame thing. I think Fox. I think he's with.
Yeah, yeah.
And him, Reggie Bush Jones. That's not his real name.
Matt Leinart.
Matt Leinart's there. The USC contingent. They're all there. And what happens is. They're all giving their predictions, and mostly everybody there on the panel, I believe, picked Ohio State to win the game. And the only one who broke it down the right way, and he was right, was, and no shocker, because he knows everybody, he recruited all those kids in that team, was Urban Meyer. He said, Ohio State pulls away after halftime and wins the game convincingly. Right here
in
Auburn. He nailed it, yeah. He kind of knew exactly what was going to happen.
That's exactly what happened.
So, yeah, but... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see when the thing comes out. I'm sorry, how it evolves here with all these different conference championships and whatnot. Being that Alabama is outski, it's crazy. I was hoping weeks back that we'd see like a Minnesota maybe open up the eyes. That's not happening now because they have that loss.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you think gives, say, if the rankings stay the way they are, right? And we're talking about number four, taking out LSU number one, right? Or Ohio State one, right? Say, who do you think gives Ohio State the bigger challenge, Oklahoma or Utah? Say Ohio State's number one or LSU. Who do you think gives that one of those two programs the bigger challenge, Oklahoma or Utah?
I don't know why my first instinct is to say Oklahoma. I don't know.
Because of Hurts?
I think Hurts, yeah. But yet, like you said, I agree with you on the statement of that the more complete program is Utah, comparing them to Oklahoma, I should say. If you're comparing those two, it's definitely, they're more complete, but yeah, I would say because it hurts.
Speaking of, you love those pregames. That Fox pregame that you're watching got better ratings this week than ESPN's.
Wow, look at that.
Kirk Herbstreit's probably pissed, kicking over a speaker somewhere.
Yeah, got more viewers than ESPN's pregame.
Wow.
I'm talking about 11 to noon now.
How's the CBS one doing?
It's Taz and the Moose with you. Come back to 3, CBS Sports Radio.